At the heart of Christmas, certainly, is the love of God for each and every one of us. One of the ways that we express our love for each other and the love of God is in the giving of gifts. Some of you were here a week ago. We had a white elephant gift exchange, which was a lot of fun. One of the cool things about a gift exchange like that is there's always some unexpected, like really cool gifts, and then what one person thinks is cool, maybe somebody else doesn't, but there's always some really weird, quirky re-gifting and some odd things. So there were a few at ours, but I think Kim the other day was telling me about her workplace. They had a gift exchange, and there were some really strange gifts. Terrible gifts. Okay, terrible. Okay, was the word. I was paraphrasing. But yeah, terrible gifts. So, could you want to give an example? Or
like one person opened up a box and it was those ADE pads that you put on people to shock them back.
Like a defibrillator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the pads.
Just the pads. So, in case you ran out.
They expired, too.
Expired defibrillating pads. So, yeah, I don't know what you would do with that, but maybe something fun. Hook it up to a car. No, battery, don't do that. So, yeah, anybody's favorite weird gift stand out? Something you've given that was just bizarre or received, or it was just a terrible gift? Anybody want to volunteer? Rat yourself out? Come on. What do you got?
Well, no, I just misunderstood the white elephant gift here at church, so I was the one who gave the weird gifts.
I just think you have a great sense of humor. So, do you want to tell everybody? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we had some books in Spanish, right? That were yeah. What's that? Oh, French. We had some books in French that were given out as gifts, so
I really got a white elephant.
Yeah, and Phyllis actually got so Kim and I decided to be literal. Yeah.
A bath bomb and it was a white elephant.
It was a white elephant. White elephant bath bomb. Yeah. Smelled really good. So, you know, the important thing with getting a gift is to understand the love that's behind it. You know, it's the thought that counts. It's the love that's behind the gift that counts. And so we want to be grateful, but sometimes you might open a gift. It doesn't happen with my wife and I ever, because we always get each other wonderful gifts.
Yeah.
Right, because we pick out the gifts. Yeah, I'm like, here, buy me this, which it helps to do that. You might do that, but you know, it's really important, though, we want to be grateful, you know. So this morning, I thought we would start out just with maybe some tips, some Christmas gift gratitude. If you open something and you're like, this is a terrible gift, but you want to respond in a way that's appreciative. And so I have came up with a top 10 ways that maybe would be helpful for you when you open that terrible gift. So number 10, Brian, if you go ahead and, well, now there's a gift. See, if you don't know what else to say, you just it's honest, right? It's a gift. There's a gift. So, okay, number 9. Wow, this came all the way from China. No matter what it is, right? It probably is from China these days. So, number 8. Jog my memory. What's it called again? For something truly bad. Number 7. You know what? I'm going to find a special place to put this. Maybe out on the front porch or a closet or the trash. Or yeah, no, don't throw it in. Re-gift it next year here at the gift exchange. Yeah. Okay, number 6. Boy, you don't see craftsmanship like that every day. See? These are useful. You can use these. Yeah. Jot these down in your bulletin. You're probably going to need some of these. Number 5. It's such an interesting color, too. It doesn't work if you're colorblind. I'm colorblind, so I can't use that. Okay, number 4. You say that was the last one. Wow, and you snapped that baby up. Oh. Number 3 for the truly bad gift. You shouldn't have. No, really, I mean it. You really shouldn't have. Number 2. Okay, in case you're not familiar with this, if you're not a Mary Poppins fan, so the word that you have to say when there's nothing else to say, if you know this, it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Well done. Good job. And number one response, thank you. That's probably the one to go to. Just thank you. Thank you, no matter what the gift, because it's given in love, and we want to be truly appreciative. So, well, today, as we look at the Word of God, I want to talk with you about a gift that you really shouldn't have to rehearse being grateful for, because it's the most wonderful gift that's ever been given, and that's the gift of God's Son, the gift of Jesus, and the love that is behind that gift is a gift that we can truly be grateful for. So the first thing that I want us to acknowledge today as we look at the Word of God, God's gift of His Son is the perfect gift. God's gift of His Son is the perfect gift. It is the perfect expression of the faithful and relentless and powerful love of God, the gift of His Son. God gave His Son at the perfect time to meet our greatest need, our need to have our sin issue dealt with and the condemnation for sin. And only Jesus could meet that need. Only the Son of God could perfectly meet that. So let's start in Galatians 4 in verse 4 today. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir. You know, from the beginning of the human race there in the Garden of Eden, when the first marring of humanity, the marring of the image of God took place because of sin, we had a massive problem. We had a problem that we could not address. There's nothing that we could do about it. The problem was sin. And according to the Word of God, we see this throughout the Old Testament, God had made promises through prophets. He let people know, I am going to deal with your problem. I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to deal with the fall in your sin issue. And at the perfect moment in history, God sent a redeemer. God sent His Son Jesus so that we could be rescued and restored to God. And God did this because of love. See, when we sinned against God, God had every right not to respond in love, not to respond with anything but justice and wrath against sin. God would have been justified to say, you got yourself into this mess, and there are consequences. But He didn't do that. Because of love, God wanted to redeem us and to be in this relationship forever with us, to see us change from being rebels to being sons and daughters. And so He sent Christ to deal with that problem. And because of that love, and because of what Christ did, we can be part of God's family. Not only sons and daughters, and not only rebels who have been brought into this family, but to enjoy the presence of God in our life every day, to know Him and to know His love. It reminds me of a story I read about on Facebook. This was a true happening. It was a lady in Texas named Tracy Howell. And Tracy had a unique way of showing love to her husband. And she told this. She made a post about this that got shared, I think, hundreds of thousands of times. But Tracy's husband's name was Clifford. And I want to share her Facebook post with you. She said, Clifford and I have been married for almost 41 years, and I have made his lunch every working day since day one. On occasion, I would join him on the job, and we would have lunch. He made a comment once that lunch tasted so much better when you can share it with someone you love. Soon after that, while fixing a sandwich one day, I took a bite out of it before putting it away. When he got home, this was before the days of cell phones, when he got home, he commented that somebody took a bite out of a sandwich. I told him that since I couldn't join him for lunch, that I took a bite out so that he would know that I was joining him. I continue to do this frequently, unless it's tuna or pimento cheese. And he still says, I saw you join me for lunch today. It sure was good. Tracy wanted her husband to know, in providing his lunch, not only does she love him, but in her heart, she's saying, I'm with you. Whatever you are dealing with, whatever kind of day you're having in the workplace, you know, whatever the relationship with your boss, you know, whatever's going on, you're not in it alone. I'm with you, because they're one. She was saying, I'm with you in the midst of that. See, one of the amazing things about Jesus is not only is he the Son of God, but he came as Emmanuel, as God with us, Son of Man as well, fully human. God's word here in Galatians says that he was born under the law to redeem humankind who was under the law. God was saying, listen, you guys epically failed. The human race, you know, God in giving his law, God saying, hey, here's right, here's wrong, here's sin, here's righteousness. God had every expectation, every reason to expect us to obey. To say, you do what I said is good and you refrain from doing what I said is sin. And we didn't. We didn't do that. But in spite of that, God sent his son to perfectly live out all of the demands of the law. To do what we couldn't do. Jesus was entirely successful, where all of the rest, all of humankind blew it. I don't know how many, anybody know how many people have lived now in this world? Billions today? 8 billion today. I don't know. Any 100 billion? We've got a few scientists here. So how many, other than Jesus, how many have perfectly kept God's law? Nobody. Zero. Jesus came for us all. Jesus came and was successful in a way that nobody else would, perfectly living out God's law. Jesus is God's greatest gift to us. Anybody else grateful for that gift today? Amen. Amen. I am, every day. Every day. Because I know that I fall short. I know that apart from Jesus, I would never find my way. The Word of God says that we wouldn't even seek him. Apart from him drawing us, God is so good to us. A second thing for us to recognize today, in love, God chose us in Christ for himself as family. God chose us for himself as family. J.I. Packer wrote about this in this wonderful expression of God's love that came at Christmas. I want to share a quote with you this morning. J.I. Packer said, adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. Higher even than justification. To be right with God the judge is a great thing. But to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater. I mean, God, in sending his son to pay that price on the cross for us, did an amazing thing. He made a way for us to be declared not guilty, innocent, because Jesus took the punishment upon himself, became sin for us. And God said, you are in Christ by grace through faith. You are forgiven and you are declared not guilty now, because all that guilt was placed upon him. But not only not guilty, that would have been awesome. That was awesome. But God said, but I'm not stopping there. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to give you myself and my spirit, and I am going to make you my sons and daughters. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for that. What a gift. What a gift. By God's grace, because of his love for us, we are brought into his family with the full, that word adoption, the full standing of sons and daughters, complete standing with heirs of God as our Father. God is our Father who loves us so, so much. You know, there are days that I just don't, I'm such a messy kid. You know, and I get my eyes off of him and I get my eyes off on myself and I think, God, how can you love me? I'm a mess. But it's not in the perfection of his, He gives us the righteousness of Jesus. He loves us so dearly, so much. And it's the love of the Father, a powerful love, a redeeming love. And the Word of God says that we have all of the blessings, we have all of the benefits of being children of God. It's amazing. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3 this morning. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach the fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. God is telling us, if you are in his family, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are holy and blameless in the sight of God. Wow. Wow. All of your sins washed away forever, past, present, and future, all removed because of Christ. And that God says he even makes his will known to us. You know, just like a father or a grandfather might pull his child or grandchild close, God does that with us, and he tells us his will. He shares that with us. He gives us hope. He gives us salvation. He fills us with his Spirit, and he says, it's a guarantee. Come what may, you're going to get that full inheritance as a son or daughter of God. Isn't that awesome? And this is a declaration of the grace and the mercy and the love of God. So what's a son or daughter do when they get a great gift from dad or mom? Thank you. Thank you. We respond with gratitude, right? God, I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord. That he is so generous, and he gives us so much of himself and his love and his joy and his peace and so much hope that he says, I'm giving you more than you need. Give it away. Give it away. The third thing to recognize today, love freely received is love freely given. Love freely received is love freely given. When you receive the grace of God, what do you give away? The grace of God. When you receive the mercy of God, what do you give away? The mercy of God. When you receive compassion and kindness from God, what do you give away? Compassion and kindness. When you receive the love of the Father, what do you give away? Love. When you receive forgiveness, what do you give away? Forgiveness. When you receive humor from God, amen, Mike Murray. You give it away. That's joy. That's joy of the Lord. Amen, brother. Thank you. Amen. And one of the passages in Scripture that help us to understand God's love, because it is so different from the way we're inclined to love. It's so beautiful and powerful and perfect. 1 Corinthians 13. If you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 13 with me. Get a glimpse of God's love. Get a glimpse of the love that he gives in excess that we can give to other people without condition. The Apostle Paul wrote, if I speak in the tongues of men, the languages of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and even give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. Could I have, George, would you mind letting the children's church folks know that we're going to have communion? They can come on back up if they're prepared to do that. God sent his son, certainly for the glory of God and the will of the Father, but God sent his son because he radically loved you. And even in the celebration of the birth of Jesus, we can get caught up in so many things that are just not the main thing. We can get caught up in the wonderful decorations, lights and bulbs, and it's good. It's a good thing. It's great. I love the decorations. Kind of. You know, we can get caught up in even like good deeds, going to the mission, serving a meal. That's a great thing to do. We can get caught up in church stuff and religious happenings around this time of year. But God's word tells us without love, that's all worthless. None of that means anything. Receiving God's patience for me causes me to be patient in a way that I wouldn't do on my own. I wouldn't be patient. Receiving God's forgiveness for me causes me to be forgiving in a way that in my flesh I can't forgive.
Amen.
God gave, in giving Christ, God gave us the ultimate gift. God gave us himself. Mm-hmm. And there is only one proper way with such an awesome gift, and a gift that was very costly for God to give us. There's only one proper way to really respond if you've never received that gift, and that's to receive that gift. Jesus came, born in Bethlehem, but he came, as Brad said earlier, he came to go to that cross. came to pay for our sins. And that is an awesome gift. That's part of the gift of Christ. The worship team is going to come up and play a communion meditation song for us. This song, Christ Child Lullaby, it is a song of celebration of the coming of Jesus, but it's also, this is a song of invitation. This is a song that if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've not received Him yet as your Savior, that points to that opportunity as well, that, you know, God's Word says we're all sinners. You know, we all need Jesus. It's just different varieties of sin. I'll come back up in a few moments, but a wonderful way for you to respond this morning to the gift of the Son of God, if you haven't received this gift yet, is to put your trust in Jesus, to ask for that gift, and God will give it, and receive Jesus in your heart.
My sweet.